Okay, so good morning. Today's daf is daf Lamed Gimel, daf 33. We left off on the top of the page on 33A, about eight, nine lines from the top of the page. Last word on the line, Tanu Rabbanan. Today's daf should be for the Refuah Shema Ba'al Chonim, and also for the Hatzlacha of Tzva Hagana Yisrael Bezat Hashem. Okay, Tanu Rabbanan, the begins 33A. Po'alim Shebao Litboa Scharan Mi'Bal HaBayit, if workers came to request their money from the Baal HaBayit, Ungachan Shorosha Baal HaBayit, and the Baal HaBayit's ox came and gored them, or Unshachan Kalbosha Baal HaBayit, or their dog bit them, Vamet, and they died, Patur, the owner is exempt. Acherim Amrim, others say, Rashaim Po'alim Litboa Scharan Baal HaBayit, others say, no, the workers are allowed to come and request their money from the Baal HaBayit. And therefore, the Baal HaBayit should be liable. So the Gemara says, "Hechi dame, what's the case? If the guy is common in the city, then why the Acherim say that he's liable? They should just wait for him to come to the city. And if he's always in his house, why does Tanakama say he's exempt? You should be able to go. They're allowed to go into his house to get their money, and therefore he should be liable." So, meaning, according to Acharim, why is saying that he's liable? He should be exempt. And according to Tanakama, why is saying that he's exempt? He should be liable if he's always in the house. So the Gemara says, "Lo tzricha begavrat shchiach v'lo shchiach." So talking about a person who is not so commonly, he's not so commonly present. Ukarei abava ve'amar lohu in, and they go to his house and they knock on the door and he says yes, and they thought mor savar in ul tat mashma. They thought that yes means come in, whereas umor savar in kum aduchtach mashma. The other opinion says no. Yes means wait where you are. I'm coming to open the door for you. Meaning, they thought yes means come in, and that's not the case. So that's how you would explain it. Acherim would say that yes means come in, and therefore if the ox gored them and they died, the owner is liable. Whereas the other opinion says Tanakama says no. Yes means wait where you are. I'm coming to open the door. Tanya kiman damar in kum aduchtech mashma. The Braita goes like the one who says, wait where you are. The Tanya's Braita says, Po'el shenichnas litvos charon baal habayit. The worker goes in to request his money from the baal habayit. Ungacho shorosh baal habayit. And the ox gored him. Or nishacho kalbo. Or his dog bit him. Patur. He's exempt. Afal pi shenichnas birashut. Even though the guy came in with permission. So the Gemara says, am I patur? Why is he exempt? Ela lav dikrea bavava amar le'in. Is it not talking about a case that maybe the guy knocked on the door and the owner said yes? Ushmamina, it's coming to teach us, in kum aduchtach mashma. That is coming to say that when the person says in, yes, it means wait where you are, and I'll come and open for you eventually. New Mishnah. Shnei shvarin tamin shechavluze. It's two oxes that are calm, that damage each other. Mishalmin motar chatzi nezek. The owner pays, whichever one caused more damage, the owner of that, the ox pays the half a damage of that extra. Shnehen muadin, if both of them are muad, mishalmin b'motar nezek shalem, and the owner would pay the difference of who caused more damage with a full damage, whatever the full damage was. Whereas echad tam, echad muad, if let's say one is calm, one is muad, muad betam, if the muad caused damage to the tam, mishalem b'motar nezek shalem, the owner pays the full damage of what was caused more, whoever caused more damage. Tam muad mishalem b'motar chatzi nezek, if the calm animal hurt, damage the mu'ad animal, then the owner would pay whatever was extra on his side. Meaning, let's say the calm animal caused $100 of damage, the mu'ad animal caused $50 of damage, therefore, you would pay half the damage of the difference, which would be, the difference would be 50, half of that would be 25. V'chen shnei anashim shechavlu zeh bazeh, two people who caused damage to one another, mishalmim imotar nezek shalem, they could take the difference between the damage, and the one who caused more damage pays the full damage of what the difference was. Adam be mu'ad, mu'ad be adam. If a person caused damage to a mu'ad animal, or mu'ad to a person, mishalem imotar nezek shalem, they pay the difference of full damage. Adam be tam, be tam be adam. A calm person with a calm animal with a person. Adam be tam, mishalem imotar nezek shalem. Person to a calm animal, he pays the difference of the full damage. Tam be adam, mishalem imotar chatzi nezek. Whereas a calm animal with a person, he would pay the difference of half a damage. Rabbi Akiva Omer, Rabbi Akiva says, "Af tam shechaval be'adam, mishalem b'motar nezek shalem." Even a calm animal that caused damage to a person, he should pay the difference in full damages, not in half damages. So the Gemara says, "Tanu Rabbanan." The pasuk says, Kamishpat hazeh yaaselo. Like this mishpat you should do for him. What is Pala talking about? O ben yigach, o bat yigach, talking about goring. So the Gemara says, Kamishpat shor b'shor, kach mishpat shor b'adam. Just like the mishpat with an ox to an ox, so too is the mishpat of an ox to a person. Mas shor b'shor, tam mishalem b'chatzi nezik, mu'ad nezik shalem. Just like two animals. If it's a calm animal, he pays the half a damage. If it's a mu'ad animal, he pays the full damage. Av shor ba'adam, tam mishalem chatzi nezik, mu'ad nezik shalem, so too. An ox to a person, if it's calm, he pays half a damage. And if it's mu'ad, he should pay the full damage. So the Gemara says, Riyakiva omer, Riyakiva says, kamishpat hazeh, this mishpat, katachton velo ka'elyon. Like the earlier pasuk, and not like the pasuk before that. Meaning, Rashi explains, mishpat ha'tachton mishtei b'mu'ad. The previous pasuk before this is talking about mu'ad animal. Ukra kama b'tam, and the one before that is talking about a calm animal. So he says, we go based on the pasuk right before this pasuk, which is talking about a mu'ad, and therefore you would pay, if a person with an animal, you would pay the full damage. The Gemara says, yachol mishalem min aliyah, is it possible you'd pay even from the aliyah, which we've discussed before. If let's say the animal is not worth, is worth less than what the actual damage was. Rashi says, yachol tam shechaval ba'adam yekem u'ad l'chot varav afilu mishalem min aliyah, even to pay from the aliyah. The Gemara says, tamun lomar yaseh lo migufo mishalem eno mishalem min aliyah. No, he pays from his guf, and if let's say he's not worth the whole damage, then the person that was damaged will lose out, and he only gets the ox itself. He does not get paid from the aliyah. Rabbanan, okay, Rabbanan, ze lamali. Why does it say ze in the pasuk? Le potrom arba dvarim, to come and exempt you from the four things, right? Nezek, tsar, shevet, and ripui, exempt you from that. Rabbi Akiva, le potrom arba dvarim minale. Where does he learn to exempt you from the four things? Nafkale, from the pasuk that says, Me'ish ki yiten mum ba'amito, if a person puts a blemish in a friend, Ish ba'amito v'lo shor ba'amito. It's talking only a person who puts a blemish in a friend, not an ox who puts a blemish in a friend, and therefore an ox who did that would be exempt from these four things. Okay, v'rabbanan, what does he say about that pasuk? Ima hi hava amin atzar l'chudei. If it was from that pasuk, I would have thought he's exempt only from tzar. But if, let's say, doctor's payments or unemployment, maybe I would have thought you'd have to pay, the owner of the ox would have to pay. Therefore, Kamashmalan has come and teach us that, no, if an ox causes damage, the owner of the ox would not have to pay the four items. Okay, new Mishnah. Shor shave manesh nagach shor shave matayim vena nefela yafe klum notel et ashor. If an ox worth one maneh gores an ox worth two manes, and the carcass is not worth worth anything, therefore you would take the ox itself. So the Gemara says, "Manitin mani." Who is the Mishnah following? Rabbi Akiva. He's following Rabbi Akiva. The Tanya Zavraita says, "Yusham hashor bebeit din." The ox is evaluated worth in the beit din, right? The ox of the mazik, of the one that damaged, in the beit din. The very Rabbi Yishmael. That's Rabbi Yishmael's opinion. Rabbi Akiva Omer. Rabbi Akiva says, "No, huchlat hashor." No, the ox is kind of taken locked. He's kind of decided specific that ox is already taken, and it's like kind of confined to the sense that you would take the ox itself. So the Gemara says, "My kamifligi." What are they arguing on? Rabbi Yishmael Savar. Rabbi Yishmael holds bal chov hu vezuzehu demasikle. It's considered like a debt, and he's paying off his debt, and he's giving him money. That's what he's basically giving him. Rabbi Akiva Savar. Rabbi Akiva says, "No, shutafeninu. No, it's a partnership." So the Gemara says, "V'kamifligi b'haikran." They're arguing on the following pasuk: "Ummachru et ashor v'achai v'chatzu et kaspo." They sold the ox, the living ox, and they cut the money. So Rabbi Yishmael Savar, the Beit Dina kamizar rachmana. Rabbi Yishmael says the pasuk is talking to the Beit Din. Rabbi Akiva says l'nizak u'mazig mizar l'rachmana. The Torah is talking to the damaged one and the damager. So the Gemara says, "My benayu, what's the difference between their opinions?" Hikdisho nizak ika benayu. If let's say the damaged one made the animal hekdesh, so according to Rabbi Yishmael, it would not be considered hekdesh, and according to Rabbi Akiva, it would be considered hekdesh. Last two lines. Ba'amine Rava miram Nachman. Rava asks question from Nachman. Mecharom mazik l'Rabbi Yishmael mahu. According to Rabbi Yishmael, if the damager sold the animal, what would be the din? Since he said that it was a debt and it's money that I'm giving him, machor, so the animal is considered sold. Or Dilmar, perhaps living the amud, since it is a lien to the damaged one, it's owed to him, therefore you cannot go so far to go and sell the animal then. So Amar Le, Eino Machur, the answer is, it's not sold. The Gemara says, V'hatanya, but the Braita says, Mecharo Machur, if you sold the animal, it's considered sold. So the Gemara says, Choser V'goveu, the Nizak can go and recollect it from those that you sold it to. So the Gemara says, V'chimi Achar, Choser V'goveu, Lema Machur. Hold on. If he's able to go and collect it from the buyer, then what is it sold? For what reason is it considered sold? So the Gemara says, Leridya, for plowing. If let's say the buyer used it for plowing, you wouldn't be able to go and take the money for that or something like that for the plowing. The plowing is used and that's it. He lost out on that extra plowing that he used the animal for. Shema mina love umocher metaltalin beitin govin lo mehem. Oh, it's a question. Shema mina love umocher metaltalin beitin govin lo mehem. Is it possible that we can learn from here that if somebody borrows and he sells a metaltalin, he sells his movable properties, that the beitin can go and collect the movable properties from him? But we know that the beitin can only go and collect non-movable properties. So how can you say over here you can go and collect the movable property? So when it says shani hatam over there is different. The kemanda asa apotakid dame. It's like he made him an apotaki. It's like he made him a lien on the loan. He said, "I'm going to give you this animal for this loan," and so therefore that's why he's allowed to go and collect it. So when it says v'amar Rava, but Rava said asa avdo apotaki umecharo. If somebody made his animal, his slave, an apotaki, a lien for the loan, and he sold it, bal chov gove mimenu. The debtor, the one who's going to collect, rather, he can go and collect it from for that slave. Can collect that slave. Whereas shor apotiki umecharo, if his ox was made the apotiki and he sold it, ein bal chov gove mimenu. The person owed the money cannot go and collect the ox. So the Gemara says, Eved Maitama, what's the reason a slave that you're allowed? Mishum de'id le'kada, because there's a lot of voice, everyone hears about it, everyone knows about it. Right, Rashi says, "Id le'kada z'shivudei, ki shavye la'potiki." When you make a slave a lien on a loan, everyone is going to know about it. Whereas, okay, so the Gemara says, "Hainami kevan de'nagach, kada idle." Okay, this ox also, since it gores, everyone hears about it. The Torah negachna karule. Everyone calls it a goring ox, and therefore everyone should know about it. Taner of the Khalifa Barma Arava, Kameder Rebau, he was from Eretz Israel, he taught in front of Rabbi Abau. Mecharo in Machur, if it was sold, it's not considered sold. Hikdisho Muktash, but if it was made Hekdesh, it's considered Hekdesh. So the Gemara says, Mani, who's the author here? Mecharo Man, who's the one that sold it? Ilema Mazik, maybe it's the damager. Mecharo ein machur mani. Who says that if the damager sells it, it's not sold? Rabbi Akiva, it's Rabbi Akiva. The mar huchlat ashor. The ashor is considered taken as is. V'kedishon mukdash. And who says that if he made it hekdesh, it's hekdesh? Atan Rabbi Shmuel. That's going like Rabbi Shmuel. The mar yusham ashor beitin. That you evaluate the ox of the mazik in the beitin. Hold on. How can the beginning part be going like Rabbi Akiva and the latter part be going like Rabbi Shmuel? Doesn't make sense. So Ela, it must be nizak. It must be that nizak sold the animal. Mecharo in machor mani. Who's the author that says that if he sold it, it's not sold? Rabbi Shmuel. That's following Rabbi Shmuel. Hikdisho mukdash atan Rabbi Akiva. But if he made it hekdesh, it's considered hekdesh. That's going like Rabbi Akiva. Hold on. So again, you have Rabbi Shmuel and Rabbi Akiva. Which one is it? So the Gemara says leolam mazik. Rather, no matter what, we have to say it's the damager that sold it. V'divrei hakol, and it goes according to everyone. Mecharo in machor. It's not considered sold, afilu the Rishmael, even according to Rishmael. The Hamish Abdal and the Nizak, because it's considered a lien to the Nizak, and therefore you cannot sell it. Rihikdisho Mukdash, afilu Rabbi Akiva, but if it was made Hekdesh, it's Hekdesh, even according to Rabbi Akiva, Mishum de Rabbi Abau, because of the opinion of Rabbi Abau. Damar Rabbi Abau, Gezerah Shema Yomeru Hekdesh Yotze Belo Pidyon. It's a decree, lest people say that this Hekdesh went out free without any redeeming. You didn't redeem it. So therefore, for that reason, they made a takana that this Hekdesh would be considered Hekdesh, even though it's really not, in order so that people don't come to mistakenly think that you can just give out Hekdesh without redeeming it for on money. Tan Rabbanan the Braita says, Shor Tam Shehizik Ad Shelo Amad Bedin. If an ox, a calm ox, caused damage until it was taken to the din, before it was taken to the Beit Din for judgment, Mecharo, and the guy sold it, Machor, it's sold. Hikdisho Mukdash, Mir Hekdesh, it's Hekdesh. Shechato Nitanu Matana, Masha Asasui. He slaughtered it and gave it as a gift, it's considered given. Misha Amad Bedin, but if once he went to the Beit Din, Mecharo, then he sold it, Ein Machor, Eino Machor, it's not considered sold. Hikdisho Eino Mukdash, it's not considered Hekdesh. Shechato Nitanu Matana, Lo Asa Velo Klum. If he slaughtered it and gave it as a friend, to a friend, as a gift, it's not considered given. Kadmu Ba'alei Chovod Ve'igbiu. If let's say the people who were owed the money came and collected from it, Bein Chav Ad Shelo Hizik, Bein Hizik Ad Shelo Chav, whether they owed the money before the damage or the damage came first, didn't count for anything. They have to give it back. If they only allowed to collect from the goof and not actually take the animal itself. So the Gemara comes and says, "Mu'ad shehizi." But if it was a dangerous animal that caused damage, bin shamad bedin, bin shulamad bedin. Whether it went to the bedin yet or not, micharo machur. It was sold. It's sold. Hikdisho mukdash. Hikdesh. It's hikdesh. Shechadom tano matanah. Mashas asui. If he slaughtered and gave it as a gift, it's given as a gift. Kadmu balechavur yigbiu. If the people owed money, came and collected from it. Bin chav ad shelo hizik. Bin hizik ad shelo chav. Whether it's owed before the damage or after the damage. It's the whatever's done is done. They took it. Because they can only collect from the aliyah, and therefore whatever was done is done. So the Gemara says, "Amar more micharo machur." When it said it was sold, the ridya, that's referring to for plowing. That's because of Rabbi Abau, who says that we're afraid people will come and say that you gave this hekdesh out without any redeeming. Shechaton tanu matana mashas asui. If you slaughter and give it as a gift, it's considered a gift. Bishaman tanu matana mashas asui. It makes sense if you give it as a gift. L'ridya, that's for plowing. Ela shechato. But if you slaughtered it, leiti v'lishkadam yibisrei. You should have to come and pay from the basar, from the actual flesh of the animal. How do you get away? Right? Rashi says kasaka daate mashas asui la'afkuye min nizak amar. It's going to take it away from the nizak. Because you cannot say that it's for plowing, right? So over here you should have to come and pay. So the Gemara says, the Tanya is the bright that says, Chai en li ela chai. You have a live animal you'd have to pay with. That's only a live animal. Shechato minayin. How do we know? Right, look at the Pasuk. The Pasuk says, Chi yigof shor ish et shor re'o, v'met u'machru et ashor achai. If let's say one ox killed another ox, and you pay from your ox that's alive for the damage, so that's only a live animal. How do we know a slaughtered animal? Tamul amar, umachru et ashor, he sold the ox, mikon lakom, any type of ox. So what do you see? Even a slaughtered ox. So the Gemara says, how would that work? Amar shizvi lo nitzcha elef chad shechita. No. So what it's coming to teach us is for the depreciation of shechita. Meaning, what does it mean that the nizak loses? That the nizak would lose out? Over here, it's referring to that when the animal was slaughtered, the depreciation of the animal after it was slaughtered, the damager would not have to pay for such depreciation, and that's what it's coming to teach us over here. Amar Rav Huna b'Reider of Yeshua. Zot Omer, this is coming to teach us. Hamazik shibudo shel chavero patur. Someone causes a damage to the lien of his friend, he's exempt. So like a lien that's owed to a friend. So the Gemara says pshita. It's obvious. Ma'od etema. I would have thought to say hatam huda amar le luchaser tich v'domidi. Over there, he could have said, I didn't cause you to lose anything. Da amar le zika be'alma huda shakli minach. He said, it's just the wind that I took from you. I just slaughtered it. I didn't take anything away from you. I slaughtered the animal. It was the wind with my knife. That's all that happened. But in general, I would have thought you'd be liable. Kamashmalan is coming to teach us that no, you would not be liable even in any case. Rabbah also said this. If someone goes and burns the documents of his friend, he's exempt from the damage. I would have thought to say, the guy can tell him, I just took and burnt your papers. I didn't do anything. I didn't take any property from you. I burned the paper. But the papers were worth the deed of the property. But the Gemara says, I would have thought if you go into someone's property and you ruin their property by digging ditches and pits and holes and caves and all these things, maybe you'd be liable. Kamashmalan is coming to teach us that no, even in that case, you would not be liable. Because over here, it's like you dug pits and stuff in people's property, and still what it says is that whatever was done is already done, and therefore you'd not be liable. If the people owed money, went and collected from that, whether they owed the money before the damage or after the damage, says if they did nothing, right? Because we said it's only paid from the goof of the animal, not the animal itself. So the Gemara says, "Bishlama, it makes sense. Hizik atchelochav. If you cause damage first and then the debt was owed, nizakin kadmu. The ones that are owed the money for the damage get to collect first. Aval chav atchelohizik. But if the person was owed money first before the damage, valchov kadim. Why doesn't the person owed money come and collect first? Vafilu hizik atchelochav. And even if the damage was caused first." Bal chov kadim, why don't you say the person owed the money can come and collect first? And shma mina, bal chov, so the Gemara asks, okay, is this coming to teach us, shma mina, bal chov me'uchar shekadam megava, if a person owed money later, came and collected earlier, masha gava lo gava, what he collected is not considered his, he has to give it back? Is that really so? But we know that we learned in Masachet Ketubot that that's not the case. Over there is a machloket, but according to the one who says masha gava gava, that person came and was owed money, he collected it earlier before it was the time, is it not considered collected? It is collected. So the Gemara says, what is the Gemara saying here? Lo. So the Gemara says, no, that's not the case. Le'olam emalach masha gava gava. Really, what the person who's owed the money collected is collected. V'shane hatam, over there is different. The Amarle, he says, ilu gabach hava, lo minach hava gavele. The guy can come and tell you, okay, let's say you went and collected from him the money that you owed. You went and collected the ox. Can I not come and collect it from you? He caused damage to me. So I can come and collect it from you. So the Gemara says, dahai Torah da'azkan. It was this ox that caused damage to my ox. I'm going to come and collect from this ox specifically. So even if you go and you collect from the person that owes you first, I'm the person that's owed the damage to you. I'm going to come and collect it from you anyway. Okay, we'll stop it for today and we'll do a 1-minute recap.